Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Śrī Bhakti Vedanta ki Granta Raja Śrīmān Bhagavatam ki Itai Gopurimānande. So what did we discuss in last night's class? Anything else? Get this very loud so they can all. What are the nine reasons?
The only one reason I believe was discussed in the class yesterday, because he wanted to expedite the arrival of the appearance of Lord Krishna. And the other reason was that the first two children represented the different Lord, and without the answer, they believe the Lord will not appear. So these two reasons are different.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to hear the nine reasons?
Yes, please.
The nine reasons. Narad Muni came and spoke confidential words to Kamsa in these two verses for nine reasons. So Narada wanted to speed up Krishna appearing, so there's nine reasons why he did it. This will be on your exam, so please commit these to memory. Okay. Narada wanted to derive personal joy by seeing his Lord. So Narada himself wanted to see Krishna appear, so he wanted to speed everything up. To give joy to the demigods by provoking Kamsa to violence against the devotees and thereby hasten the Lord's advent. So he wanted to make the whole thing faster, he wanted to make Kamsa angry, right? And then the whole thing would move a lot quicker. To shower himself in the intense devotion of Vasudeva and Devaki. To get the blessings by delivering to them a confirmation of Krishna's appearance. Yeah, that's why I said last night. I'm not reading them so everyone can write them. That's why I didn't read them last night.
Okay.
I'm not going to read them at a pace that you all write it down. I'm just telling you what they are. And then if you want to know what they are, you get this book and then you can add that. Okay. To drown them in the ocean of bliss by cutting down their doubts of whether the Lord would really appear. To get the blessings by delivering to them a confirmation of Krishna's appearance. To increase their eagerness to see the Lord. To please Devaki and Vasudeva by making them blissful, even in those circumstances of suffering. And to make Kamsa favorable to himself by presenting false friendship. So these are nine reasons. So basically, Narada wanted to cause Krishna to appear more quickly. So then he said to Kamsa, you don't know which child is the eighth child. Is it number eight or is it number one? If you go backwards, it's number one. If you go forwards, it's number eight. If you start in a different way, it becomes the middle child, something like that. So he confused Kamsa. And the main reason he's confusing Kamsa is because he wants Krishna to appear more rapidly so that everyone can experience the bliss of Krishna's pastimes. So tonight we'll go into chapter 2. We'll go from verses 1 to 12. And then we will hear in verses 1 to 12 of the second chapter, which is called Prayers by the Demigods. We'll hear more about the preparation for the appearance of Krishna, of Yogamaya and of Balaram. So, does anyone have any other points? No. Shukadeva Goswami said, under the protection of Magga Dharaj Jarasandha, the powerful Kamsa began persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this he had the cooperation of demons like Pralamba, Baka, Chanura, Trinavata, Agasura, Mushtika, Arishta, Trivida, Putana, Keshi, Dunuka, Banasura, Narakasura, and many other kings on the surface of the earth. So we hear about these demons as the canto progresses. We'll hear about the different demons who come, which anattas they represent, and how Krishna kills most of them. Pretty much all of them. Okay. So we'll read the purport. So, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
This verse supports the following statement given by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 4.7.8. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bhava atit dhanam adharmasya sudatmanam sujanam karitrana sadhunam vinakara sudhishkitam dharma samstapanakaya sangamam vidyaya. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and the predominant rise of the religion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the past and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advance myself millennium after millennium. The Lord's purpose in maintaining this material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But kings and political leaders unfortunately try to hinder the purpose of the Lord. And therefore the Lord appears. I have personally ordered this plenary portions to set things right. It is therefore said, Darbam Sancharya Rohinyam Devkya Yogamaya Tashya Kukshim Dada Krishna Vityo Vibhu Dahi Smita. Krishna appeared in the womb of Devki after transferring Baldev to the womb of Rohini by the power of Yogamaya. Yadubi Sa Vyaru Dhyata. The kings of the Yadu dynasty were all devotees, but there were many powerful demons such as Salva who began to persecute them. At that time, Jarasandha, who was Kamsa's father-in-law, was extremely powerful, and therefore Kamsa took advantage of his protection and the help of the demons in persecuting the kings of Yadu dynasty. The demons naturally appeared more powerful than the demigods, but ultimately, because of help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated and the demigods triumphant.
So what are the points here? Yeah, Krishna gives three reasons in the Gita, right? To kill demons, to please devotees, to re-establish Dharma. So of the three, which is the prominent one?
Please
the word, yeah. Prabhupada says in the purport, in the Gita, he says the main reason why Krishna comes is actually to attract the devotees. Because it's not necessary for Krishna himself to come for any other reason. Killing demons, as Prabhupada explains, can be done by Krishna's devotees, like Arjuna and Bhima. They can be done by other incarnations, can be done by demigods, can be done just by the time factor. So there's many ways that Krishna can kill demons. Establishing religion doesn't have to be done by Krishna himself. He can also send incarnations or great devotees to do that as well. Do you want to come in, Rohini? Do you want to come in? You can. To establish religion, it doesn't have to be Krishna. It can be a empowered devotee or an incarnation. But to attract the devotees back to him, only Krishna can perform that activity. Now, what is special about Krishna? Because we can say, well, Lord Ramachandra or Nrisimhadev or so many different incarnations, they can also do these things. But specifically, it is Krishna who is the all-attractive living entity. It is Krishna who is, and we're talking about Krishna specifically in Vrindavan, Brajendra Nandana. Krishna, the original form of Krishna, as a cowherd boy, is the all-attractive Lord. So much so that all of his incarnations are also attracted to him. As we study the 10th canto, this year and next year especially, you will see that Krishna alone attracts even his incarnations. Lord Narayan, Nrsingadev, Ramachandra, when Krishna does Rasa Leela, they all come to watch the Rasa Leela. Krishna doesn't go to watch their pastimes, but they all come to see Krishna. So he is the all-attractive living entity. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 11, I think it is, near the end of chapter 11, Prabhupada says that we should fix our mind only on the form of Krishna. And Prabhupada said we should not even divert our attention to other incarnations. So then someone may say, well, I'm not attracted to Krishna like that. I don't have that kind of attraction to Krishna. I'm attracted to so many incarnations, or I see them all equally, or like that. That simply means we don't have sufficient attraction. Because when you really have attraction to Krishna, it is so overwhelming that you cannot be attracted to any other form. Krishna's beauty, his madhurya, and there are four types of madhurya that Krishna displays. What are the four kinds?
Venu
madhurya.
Rupa
madhurya. Lila madhurya. And? What is the fourth one? Prima. Prima madhurya. So these four. These four qualities, the other incarnations do not display these four to the limit that Krishna displays them. Venu madhurya means the sweetness of Krishna's flute. It is so sweet that when Lord Shiva hears the playing of the sound of Krishna's flute, he bows his head. Because Lord Shiva is a brilliant musician himself. But when he hears Krishna's flute, he just bows his head to study. What is that sound? Because it is such an exquisite sound, such a captivating sound. It captivates all the living entities in creation. Rupa madhurya means the sweetness of Krishna's form. Krishna is so attractive that when he sees himself, it describes that when Krishna sees himself in Dwarka, he looks into a crystal pillar. And the pillar is like a mirror. Or he looks into a body of water and he sees his reflection. When he sees it, he becomes stunned. He says, who is that? Krishna himself becomes attracted. And then he thinks, I want to taste the beauty of that person. He is so beautiful. And then he thinks back when he is in Dwarka, he thinks back to Vrindavan, and he thinks only Srimati Radharani can fully appreciate my beauty. No one else can fully appreciate my beauty. So I want to take her position so that I can fully relish my beauty. And it's described that when Krishna is in Dwarka, sometimes in the morning, in the Sudama Assembly House, actors come in, they perform a drama for Krishna in front of Krishna for his pleasure and the other king's pleasure. And then sometimes the actors play Krishna when he was in Vrindavan. And when Krishna sees himself in Vrindavan, he becomes attracted to that form. He wants to go back to Vrindavan and dress like a cowherd boy. So for him, that is the greatest attraction. Even he is attracted to himself in Vrindavan. Then there is Lila Madhurya. Lila Madhurya means his pastimes. What sort of pastimes? Yeah, it means childhood pastimes. Because Krishna has pastimes which the other incarnations don't have. Lord Narayan does not have childhood pastimes. Lord Narayan does not have a Rasa Leela. Right? Lord Narayan will simply dance with Lakshmi Devi, his wife. But Krishna will dance with 3 billion gopis simultaneously. And Krishna's pastimes are so attractive, the other incarnations are coming to witness them. And there is a complete, in Vrindavan, there is a complete lack of awe and reverence in the pastime. So it captivates the devotees. It even captivates the Lakshmi Devi, who is the eternal associate of Lord Narayan, but she is attracted to Krishna in Vrindavan. She is in Vrindavan right now in a place called Srivan, or Bulvavan, which is on the other side of the Jamuna from where Keshika is. And if you go over to that forest, Sri or Lakshmi is there right now, and she's performing austerities to get into the past lives of Krishna and Vrindavan. She's been doing this for thousands of years, and still she cannot enter. So she's attracted to the Leela of Krishna. They are the most captivating pastimes. And then there is Prema Madhurya. Prema Madhurya means the love that Krishna has with his devotees. It is confidential. Yeah? It is not like the love in the other incarnations. The other incarnations don't experience the type of intimacy that the residents of Vrindavan have with Krishna. Yeah? It is confidential. Yeah? So much so that Krishna's heart is completely captivated by the residents of Vrindavan. And even when he goes to another pastime abode like Dwarka, he is still thinking constantly of Vrindavan. This is told in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There are pastimes where Krishna is completely captivated by Vrindavan. Where Rukmini says that when he is sleeping, he is whispering the names of the gopis. He says, Hey Radhe, Hey Lalite, Hey Vishakhe. And Satyabhama says, What do you know? Even when he's sitting with me and he's awake, he's daydreaming. And he's looking off into the distance and he's saying, Hey Radhe, Hey Lalite, Hey Vishakhe. So Krishna is totally captured, the prema of what's going on. So this is what the 10th canto is teaching us. That only Krishna can come to attract us back to him. We can't be attracted by any other form. And when we actually become attracted to Krishna, as Prabhupada says, you won't even divert your form, your consciousness to any other form of Krishna. It can only be Krishna. Right? And who taught us this example of only meditating on Krishna, no one else? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was completely absorbed in one thing. What was that? What was the first thing he did when he took sannyas? Came to the holy lands. But when he took sannyas, he started walking straight to Vrindavan. First thing he did, when he took sannyas, he said, Now I'm going to Vrindavan. He started walking to Vrindavan. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking to Vrindavan, a voice came in the sky, same as here with Kamsa. A voice came in the sky and said, No, you should not go to Vrindavan now. There's not time for you to go to Vrindavan now. He heard a divine voice in the sky and then he went to Shantipur, where he performed his leela. So Lord Chaitanya teaches us this is the example. This is what the 10th canto is aiming at exclusively, is to develop love for Krishna as it is found by the residents of Vrindavan. Any questions?
Lord Nityananda also diverted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he started walking to Rikimandan. So how do this both
No, he was going to Vrindavan, the voice said go back. And then he got to, he was going to Shantipur. And then Nityananda Prabhu, they got to the river, and he said, what river is this? And that's what it was told, it was Jamuna. And then when they crossed the river, when they got to the other side, they saw Advaitaracharya. And then he said, Advaitaracharya, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? Because Nityananda Prabhu had said that it is the Jamuna River. And then Advaitaracharya said, wherever you are is Vrindavan. And then he understood, thought, Nityananda is bewildering me. And I thought I was in Vrindavan, but actually I'm in... Because he hadn't even walked so far yet, so there was no possibility. He was just in so much ecstasy, he didn't know factually where he was at that point. But then Prabhupada explains that the Jamuna and the Ganga are flowing side by side in that part of the Ganga. So. Any other points? Yeah, that was up in Ramkiri. Yeah, he tried to go to Vrindavan twice and he wasn't successful. And finally he went to Vrindavan. Okay. Any other points?
So why do we have one thing in common? So why do we have one thing in common? I can't hear you.
Why do you hear the other incarnations of Krishna when
Because when you hear about the other incarnations, you'll just think, oh, that's Krishna. You'll think that's Krishna when he's angry. Now he's called Nrisimhadeva. Or that's Krishna when he's showing perfect dharma. That's Ramachandra. Or that's Krishna when he's lifting the earth. That's Varaha. Like that. So when you see the other incarnations, you'll just think of Krishna. You won't think of the other incarnations. Because even in Vrindavan, sometimes Krishna says to the gopis, he says, I was Lord Varaha previously. And the gopis said, of course you were. And Krishna says, no, I was actually Lord Varaha. I'll show you. And Krishna takes the form of Varaha and he picks up a pot like the earth and he puts it on his nose. And then when he turns back into Krishna, they say, anyway, you do so many things. It doesn't mean that you're actually... So even those devotees, when they see these pastimes, still they just think of Krishna. They don't get impressed by the other pastimes. Yeah. Very good.
Actually, they don't think that they were not thinking that Krishna is from me.
Yeah.
Just think he's a man.
Yeah. Okay. Persecuted by the demoniac kings, the Yadavas left their own kingdom and entered various others, like those of the Kurus, Panchalas, Kikayas, Shalvas, Vidarbhas, Nishatas, Videhas, and Koshalas. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasen, killed the six sons of Devaki, the plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as the seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion.
Some of the chief devotees, such as Akrura, stayed with Kamsa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kamsa. And they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kamsa's association, they would be able to see the Personality of Godhead take birth and display his childhood pastimes. And Akrura would later go to Vrindavana to bring Krishna and Balarama to Madhura. The word Prasyapsade is significant because it indicates that some devotees wanted to stay near Kamsa in order to see all these pastimes of the Lord. The six children killed by Kamsa had formerly been sons of Marichi, but because of having been cursed by a Brahmana, they were obliged to take birth as grandsons of Hiranyakasipu. Kamsa had taken birth as Kalanemi, and now he was obliged to kill his own sons. So this was a mystery. As soon as the sons of Devaki were killed, they would return to their original place. The devotees wanted to see this also. Generally speaking, no one kills his own nephews. The Kamsa was so cruel that he did so without hesitation. Ananda, Sankarsana, belongs to the second Chaturvyuha, or quadruple expansion. This is the opinion of experienced commentators.
So what are the points there? Which part?
After the six sons that came, the seventh one. Is it Balram or is it again Sankarsan?
Yeah, because what it means is that Balaram goes to the womb of Rohini, but his expansion, who is Ananta, Sankarshan, which is the second quadruple expansion, and Ananta comes from him, then that's who is in the womb preparing. So it's like he's there, and then he leaves his expansion, he goes to Rohini's womb, and he's waiting there to appear in Vrindavan. So it's Balaram, but it's the expansion of Balaram. Any other point? Yeah, good. So that's the point that Prabhupada's making here, that a pure devotee will tolerate anything in Krishna's service. So if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you need to become tolerant in Krishna's service. It means you have to go through so many difficulties. Yeah? And the difficulties will come from every direction, even from other devotees. Other devotees will give you difficulties. Family members will give you difficulties. Society in general is giving us difficulties. Everyone in the material world will give you difficulty. There is a problem there. But a devotee, he tolerates that, and his only desire is to serve Krishna. And Krishna is examining all of us all the time. And we have to pass his examination. He has to see that we are fixed in serving him under all circumstances. So he makes things very difficult. And compared to what Vasudeva and Devaki are going through, what we go through is not so difficult. None of us are in prison. None of us are having our children murdered. I mean, we can't even imagine what this would be like to be in this circumstance. But Devaki and Vasudeva were still just fixed in Krishna's service. And in the previous chapter, Prabhupada is explaining that Vasudeva is actually in ecstasy because he's feeling Krishna will very soon appear. And Devaki is also feeling like that. That is what is getting her through the difficulty. But she's thinking Krishna will very soon come. So we have to, under all circumstances, tolerate. And we just have to say fixed in Krishna's service. That is called nishtha or nishtita bhakti. A neophyte devotee, what's the difference between an advanced devotee and a not advanced devotee? An advanced devotee is someone who is just fixed. And you see in this temple there are many advanced devotees. They're just fixed. They're this, they're like, you know, see like Bhakti Mahaprabhu. Right? He's there every day, worships the deities every day, year after year after year after year after year after year. Still does the same service. Right? Not flickering, you know, not missing your service, but just fixed in devotional service. So there's many examples. You look around our community. Many advanced devotees. What's an advanced devotee by definition? Someone who's fixed in Krishna's service, who's steady. Not someone who is anishita, who is always wavering. According to his anattas, whatever anatta comes up, then he becomes distracted and he leaves Krishna's service, internally and externally. But a fixed devotee, and actually Prabhupada was asked by Balaram Prabhu, who was the previous temple president to Aniruddha Prabhu, just upstairs there, Balaram Prabhu said to Prabhupada, what is the qualification for a devotee to take second initiation or Brahman initiation? And Srila Prabhupada said he must be steady. So now this is the symptom of advancement. Right? And when you become very advanced, then you have tears in your eyes and all these symptoms. But you know, the symptoms we're looking for at this point in time is just to be steady and fixed. So we see Vasudeva and Devaki is showing us perfect Krishna consciousness. Right? They don't become disturbed or distracted by their external situation. So they are anxious to get Krishna's protection, Krishna's shelter and Krishna's association. And Prabhupada explains to us that is the price. Rupa Goswami says there is one price to attain Krishna. What is that price?
Lopa.
Lopa. Lopa means? Greed. You have to become greedy. You have to become anxious. You have to become infatuated. You have to become absorbed in just wanting to meet and serve Krishna. That is the price you have to pay. Rupa Goswami clearly says.
Unless you pay the price, you cannot see Krishna. If there is no like anxiety in your chanting, if you're not chanting in such a way, Krishna, 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 you're bringing Krishna there. Just like at Vaitaracharya, when he was calling the Lord, he said, "You must come." Then the person comes. My Guru Maharaj, before he left this world, he was telling us one story. He had some elderly disciples in Los Angeles. So when he left this world, he was about 56, around about that age. So his disciples were around about 70, like an old lady and an old man. And they were serving the deities in Los Angeles. So he flew into Los Angeles, and then Tamal Maharaj had to go and visit his mother, who was, she's quite old, about that age also, about 70 years old. So he had to go and visit her. So he went to visit her, and then he didn't go to the temple in Los Angeles. He flew in, went to visit his mother, and then came back, and then he flew out. So his disciples, they wrote to him. They were 70-year-old disciples, older than him. And they wrote to him, and they said, "Why didn't you come and visit us?" And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I came to Los Angeles, I had to see my mother again." And they said, "But why didn't you visit us?" And Tamal Krishna said, "Well, I had to go and see my mother." And they said, "Yeah, but why did you not come and see us?" And Tamal Krishna said, "Well, they're old and she needed me." And they said, "We're old. We're like your parents. Why don't you come and see us?" So then next time he flew in, he went straight to their place to see them. In other words, and he was telling us why. Because they had anxiety to see the guru. If there's no anxiety, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. Because they were attached to their guru. And the whole principle of guru is that Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the guru in the Adi Leela as being the Ashraya Vigraha. Ashraya Vigraha means the shelter, form of shelter. Vigraha means form of shelter, Ashraya. Why does Krishna give us guru? To train us how to become attached to Krishna. First you have to become attached to guru. If you're not attached to guru, how will you ever become attached to Krishna? So guru accepts our service, which is imperfect. He trains us. He trains us to be perfect, and then he passes us on to Krishna. So that is the way to advance in Krishna consciousness. If you can't become attached to your spiritual master, you'll never become attached to Krishna. That's the symptom or the situation. So when we learn, and that's what we're learning, that's what sadhana bhakti means, that's what it means to serve the spiritual master. The first item of bhakti, Rupa Goswami is guru padashraya. You take shelter of the guru. You develop anxiety to serve the guru. And when you have that anxiety, that qualifies you. All the service you do to guru and Gauranga qualifies you to serve Krishna. So Vasudeva and Devaki are showing us what is bhakti. Otherwise you'll never get to the platform of Vasudeva and Devaki, and you'll never get to the platform of directly having darshan of Krishna. You have to become qualified. And what is that qualification? You have to become anxious in our sense. Loba. Chatra loyam. Eka. Eka means one quality. Rupa Goswami says eka, like Krishna says in Gita. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Mam ekam, just me, Krishna says. Eka means one. Just me. No one else. Right? And Rupa Goswami says loyam. One quality, just this point. Develop greed to attain Krishna, and then you will see Krishna. The only reason we don't see Krishna now, we don't have any desire. If you have the desire, you will see Krishna. So, any points?
Who is God naming the son of Hiranyaka?
Yeah. In the previous life, comes from his Kama name.
When he was the son of Hiranyaka.
Yeah.
And he had all these sons.
Six sons.
Were
they cursed? They were cursed. The sons were cursed by Hiranyakashipu. Yeah. We'll hear more about this in the next few verses.
Yeah.
I was just on the point of tolerance that you were saying. So I was reading today from Ranath Maharaj about how tolerance actually means forgiveness. So I just wanted to know, because there's a difference between just sort of finding it and externally tolerating things as opposed to actually tolerating and forgiving in the heart as well, so that we don't have any judgment. So how do we get to that level as opposed to just externally tolerating as well things that happen?
That's just the process of purification. Yeah. Just like there's 26 qualities of a devotee. What are the 26? Kripalu, Akrita Droha, Satchasara, Sama. Kripalu means merciful. Akrita Droha means humble. Satcha means truthful. Sama means equipoise. So devotee has 26 qualities. Now, one way to develop those qualities is to conscientiously meditate on the qualities and try to develop them and have like techniques or programs of how to develop the qualities. There's 26 qualities, right? How many Ekadashis are there every year? 26, right? So you take one quality every Ekadashi, you say for the next 2 weeks I'll develop this quality. What can I do to be more compassionate for 2 weeks? So work on it and then give yourself a score out of 10. Right, at the end of the 2 weeks, how did I go? And then ask everyone else how you did. Right? And then go to the next quality. Next 2 weeks, so that's one way of developing the qualities. The other way is just by performing devotional service sincerely and carefully, then automatically these qualities will also manifest. So you can do it consciously or you can just do it automatically, but these qualities will come by the process of purification. So devotees always ask these questions. How do I become more tolerant? How do I become more patient? How do I become more determined? How do I become more enthusiastic? It's the same answer for every single question, right? Become Krishna conscious. Just like I said to my spiritual master one time, I said, how do I become more enthusiastic? And he just looked at me, gave me a look like, you know, this is a stupid question. He just looked at me like, you know, what sort of a question is that? He said, chant your rounds, go to the Bhagavatam class. It's like, what we do leads to all these qualities. It's how we do it, that's the point. Right. We all chant our rounds every day, right? But how do we chant our rounds? Right? If you want to develop these qualities, you have to chant properly. If you don't chant properly, how will you develop these qualities? So it's not hard to do these things. Like if you say, how do I do this? How do I do it? You just follow the process. Or specifically for each quality, like Kripalu means compassionate, so be compassionate. Go out of your way to be compassionate to people. Yeah, best way is go and distribute books, right? Or distribute the holy name, or distribute prasadam. Then you're developing compassion. So do it in practical ways. Don't just think, oh, I'll be compassionate, but actually do it. Is that okay? Any other questions? Okay. To protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the personality of Godhead, Vishwatma, the supersoul of everyone, ordered Yogamaya as follows. Tarabali, you like to read? You read the first paragraph.
The words Bhagavan Api Vishvatma Vidishabhayam are commented upon by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Bhagavan Swayam is Krishna, Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. He is Vishvatma, the original supersoul of everyone, because his plenary portion expands as the supersoul. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13.3. Lord Krishna is Kshetradana, or supersoul, of all living entities. He is the original source of all expansions of the personality of Godhead. There are hundreds and thousands of plenary expansions of Vishnu, such as Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Naruda and Vasudev. But here, in this material world, the Vishvatma, the supersoul for all living entities, is Shudakshaya Vishnu, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.61. The Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities, or Arjuna. Krishna is actually Vishvatma by his planetary expansion as Vishnu Tattva. Yet, because of his affection for his devotees, he asks the super soul to give them directions.
Hmm. So what are the points there?
There's a verse in India which is mentioned, so it's a child with this in the store, Kismet is on the top. So Krishna is just saying, if someone wants to remember Krishna, speak well. So if someone wants to remember Krishna, he gives them remembrance. And even if somebody wants to forget, he gives them forgetfulness.
In other words, what is the Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam is a glimpse into God's heart. Because we want to understand, if you want to know someone, we want to know them intimately. Just like when you become very close to someone, you tell them anything. And you think who your closest friends are. You tell them practically everything about yourself. You reveal your heart, you reveal your mind. So what is the Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam is Krishna revealing his heart to the devotees. He is showing us what is inside his heart. Now, what is in Krishna's heart? It is affection for his devotees. So Krishna is showing us, why does he appear? He only appears for one reason, right? Out of affection. That's why Krishna's overriding quality is described in the Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that the overriding quality of all of Krishna's qualities, Krishna has many wonderful qualities, but the supreme quality, the overriding quality is Bhakta Vatsala, which means Krishna wants to show affection to his devotees. That's why he appears. Because out of compassion, out of desire to attract them back to him, out of affection, that's why he appears. So we see here, this is the reason for Krishna's appearance. Right? It's not to kill demons. Killing demons is like something you do on the side. It's not the main reason why he comes. He's absorbed in just having affection and exchanging rasa with his devotees. That's the reason why he appears. Any points? Okay. So read the second paragraph.
The affairs of the super soul pertain to Shirodaksha Rishi, but Krishna took compassion on Devaki, his devotee, because he understood her fear of Kamsa's persecution. A pure devotee is always fearful of material existence. No one knows what will happen next, for one may have to change his body at any moment. Tatha Dehanta Prati. Knowing this fact, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obliged to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. This is bhayam or fear. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. This fear is due to material existence. Properly speaking, everyone should always be alert and fearful of material existence. But although everyone is prone to be affected by the ignorance of material existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is always alert to the protection of his devotees. Krishna is so kind and affectionate towards his devotees that he helps them by giving them the intelligence by which to exist in this material world without forgetting him even for a moment. The Lord says, Tesham evam kampartam aham agnya jantamana nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dhikana. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance.
Yeah. So what are the points there?
Prabhupada actually once commented that devotees not settled down in much fear of God.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not scared of Maya. We don't fear Maya enough.
Once Prabhupada's husband said that empty fear on Maya should always be there in a devotee's face, so that our advancement would also be checked at each and every moment.
Yeah.
So, Prabhupada says that a pure devotee is, a pure devotee uses specifically this word, a pure devotee always fearful of material existence. Where we also hear that pure devotee is always prayerless, they are ready to take birth again and again in the material world to save Krishna's glory or to spread this message. So how can we understand these two things?
Yeah, so a devotee prays that he does not become entangled by Maya. So that story was there where Prabhupada was praying in front of the deities, and then one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, what were you praying? And then Prabhupada said, I was praying that I do not fall down to Maya. And I said, Prabhupada, you can never fall down to Maya. And Prabhupada said, yes, because I'm always praying that I will never fall down to Maya. So we should be praying like that, but then simultaneously a devotee prays, when he's an advanced devotee, a pure devotee, he prays to Krishna, if you want me to come back again and preach, then. But just don't let me fall into Maya, that's all. So, any other points?
He's mentioning on the Tata Deyanta Prabhupada Dhirastha Pramakya Devas to establish that again the basic principle of devotees would always be elevated and not be in bodily conception of that.
So then, these verses are coming from the Chaturshloki Shloki of the Bhagavad Gita. Sorry, of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. So these are the key verses of the Gita. Aham Savasya Prabhupo, Achchita, Magada, Prana, Tesham, Satata, Yuktanam. So in these verses, Tesham, Satata, Yuktanam, and the final verse, then Krishna is telling us that we must develop Buddhi Yoga. This is a term that he uses many times in the second chapter of the Gita, and then he uses in the Chatur Shloki again. So you have to develop intelligence, which is fixed on Krishna. So Krishna gives us intelligence. Right? As we surrender to Krishna, he gives us the intelligence how to stay free from Maya. Because in the material world, it's always entangling, especially in Grihastha life. Right? It's very entangling. Right? Because your family is entangling, your work is entangling, practically everything in Grihastha life is entangling. That's why Shastra says, stay brahmachari. You know, Narada Muni, he convinced the prachetas to stay brahmachari. Thousands of them. So that is the basic teaching. Try to stay aloof. But most people cannot stay aloof. So therefore you have to enter into Grihastha ashram, but it's entangling. So if you are sincerely trying to serve Krishna, he will give you the intelligence on how to get through your material difficulties without getting entangled. Radhanath Swami says it's like being in a canoe or a kayak and going down the river through the rapids. So every time you go down the river, you hit a rock. Yeah? And the rapids are going like that. And you hit the rocks, and then Radhanath Swami says, so life in the material world is like you hit a rock, you work out how to get around it, and then you're going for the next rock. Right? And then you get around that one, and you're just going, that's what it is. Material world is basically just going through the rapids. Right? And Krishna will give you the intelligence, if you're sincere, how to get through the whole thing. Right? I have a calendar at home. You know, every day we turn over and Prabhupada has a new quote. So about a month ago, Prabhupada, a very nice quote, Prabhupada said, the material world is like hard wood. And you have to learn how to carve Krishna out of that wood. That's all the material world's like. It's difficult. And somehow out of that difficult situation that we all find ourselves in, every one of us are in a difficult situation in this material world, we have to find Krishna. Right? It's very difficult. The material world means that. It's not easy to get out of the material energy. But if we are sincere, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to get through. And it's difficult. So Krishna is giving Devaki and Vasudeva the intelligence how to get through this difficult situation and how to reach him. And they, by Krishna's grace, they reach him. He appears right there before them. They have to go through so much difficulty to get to him. So, any points?
So actually, we don't have to do anything. We just have to increase love for him.
Yeah. Chicken? Okay. Any other points?
So, you know, like how we usually say, like one of the principles of practicing Bhakti Yoga is like it helps us to get rid of our fears and it helps us to get rid of anxiety. But we kind of like have the dimension body here. If there is no anxiety, then we can advance in Krishna consciousness. And then if we are not fear enough for Maya, it's also like we kind of like disrespect.
So what's your point?
Yeah, it's funny, like, I mean, if we were about to preach, we preach with those elements. You say, oh, yeah, it will help us to get rid of fear and anxiety. But once we are here, it's like, okay, but those two elements are kind of, they have to be present in our...
Yeah, yeah, the temple... I mean, you know, we walk into the temple to get away from fear and anxiety, and then we get into more fear and anxiety, so... You know, I walked in the temple, you know, to become peaceful, and I haven't been peaceful since I walked into the temple. So. You know, and Prabhupada said it's like that. He said it's like chutney, right? Chutney should be so hot that it burns you, but so sweet that you can't stop eating it. Prabhupada said that's a good chutney. So Krishna consciousness is like that. Right. It's burning us, but we can't stop. It's too sweet. We can't stop serving Krishna, but it's ruining our lives. So that's how we should advertise it to everyone. Yeah. As soon as you come in, we'll ruin your life. Okay. And Rupa Goswami says this 500 years ago. Rupa Goswami says, don't go to the bank of the Jamuna. Because if you see Krishna, your material life is finished. Rupa Goswami says that. It's the same thing. We walk in there, first time we see Radha Ballabha, right? And we look and we think, that's who I'm looking for. I've been looking for this person for millions of lifetimes. Now I'm here. I'm never going to leave. Right? And then he ruins everything. Right? And the whole time he ruins your life, he just smiles at you. He enjoys it. Any other points?
How can the chutney be hot as well as sweet? Because if you put too much chili and then you
maybe you should write the coma for all. I can't answer your questions because I'm not a cook. And your questions are very advanced.
Not really.
Yeah, I can't answer. It's too high for me. You ask Homer Guru, he'll give you an answer.
Well, I'm saying I'm not sure I'm wrong, but then I use some chili and the more is to for the next and the soup and the more chili the better. So...
Prabhupada said like that. Okay. In the third paragraph, Prabhupada emphasizes that we should stay in yoga maya. There are two types of maya. There is maha maya and there is yoga maya. Now what does yoga maya do? What is her function? It brings us to Krishna. So who appears before Krishna? Well, Yoga Maya. She appears before him. She's exchanged with Krishna when he's taken across the Jamuna. And then Prabhupada says the other type of Maya is the one we're currently in. That is called Maha Maya. And Maha Maya's job is to take you away from Krishna. She has two potencies or two functions. She takes you away, or she covers you, and she pulls you down. So there's a covering potency, and then there's a pulling down point. When you try to get out of the material world back to Krishna, then there's a potency where she pulls you. So it's not easy. But when you become a devotee, she tests you even more. She says, well, what about this, and what about that, and are you really serious? You know, some mornings you wake up in the morning, you say to Krishna, now I'll give everything to you. And Krishna says, really? And then Maya just bewilders us once again. So that is the nature of Mahamaya. She takes us away from Krishna, and Yogamaya brings us to Krishna. When we become sincere, Krishna will order Mahamaya to release us and Yogamaya to assist us. But Krishna has to see that we are sincere, or we are serious about going to him. Any points? The Lord ordered Yogamaya, O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities. Go to Vraja, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudev, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudev are also living there, incognito, because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. So, Prabhu.
Nanda Gokula, the residence of King Nanda, was itself very beautiful. And when Yogamaya was ordered to go there and encourage the devotees with fearlessness, it came even more beautiful and safe. Because Yogamaya had the ability to create such an atmosphere, the Lord ordered her to go to Nanda Gokula.
What are the points?
One is to remove fear. Yogamaya was there. And another reason that Yogamaya was there is to cover the godhood of Lord Krishna, who was going to receive. The level of specialty is there.
So the Bhagavatam here is showing us what it is like in God's home. Right? Prabhupada said, where is his office? Mumbai. So Prabhupada said, that is his office. Where is his place of worship? Mayapur. And then where is his home?
Vrindavan.
And then where in Vrindavan? The Radha Damodar Mandir. Prabhupada said, that is my eternal home. He said that. So Vrindavan is Krishna's home. So the Bhagavatam will show us what it is like in God's home. And sometimes we think, we meet someone, we think, oh, what's it like at their house? You really know about the person when you go to their house. Right? There's stuff all over the floor, right? And it's messy. Then you know something about the person. If you go there and everything's neat and clean, you know something about the person. So when you go to the home, then you know something. Oh, this is what this person is like. Right? So when you go to Vrindavan, then you understand what Krishna is like. That's why the Prabhupada says in the first chapter, we have to go to Vrindavan regularly. Because then you know what Krishna is like. You can only understand Krishna when you visit Vrindavan. Then you understand, oh, that's what he's like. Because there's an atmosphere which is there. And what is the atmosphere? Sweetness. It is Madhurya Dham. And, as Prabhupada says here, it is safe. There's no anxiety. The spiritual world is called Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada said all of our temples in ISKCON are like Vaikuntha. You come in here, I remember the first time I walked in here, I just felt, wow, this place is, I don't want to leave this place. And it is like a safe haven. So this has spiritual potency. So we see Vrindavan is like that. In Vrindavan there's no anxiety. So Krishna is inviting us to come back home, back to Godhead. Hands up if you want to go home. Yeah, then you better get serious. You can't fall asleep while you chant your rounds. And if you chant your rounds on the clicker, do you think you'll go home? No? All the doors are in. Click, 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 click. Prabhupada said Tulsi Mala. The clicker is under very, very special circumstances. You have to get permission from Guru if you want to chant on the clicker. But generally, you have to chant properly. It means if you're chanting on the clicker, it means usually you're not spending time and you're chanting properly. But if you're chanting on the Tulsi beads and you're chanting properly, you will get the result. You'll go back to Krishna. You'll go back home. But it can't be done automatically. You have to put effort into it, proper time, proper effort. Okay. Within the womb of Devaki is my planetary expansion known as Sankarsana or Sesha. without difficulty transfer him into the womb of Rohini. So Prabhupada explains, who appears before Krishna? Balaram. Just like whose appearance day was it the other day? Nityananda. So Prabhupada says, and also Narottamdas Thakur writes in his bhajans, if you want to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to get the mercy of Nityananda. If you want to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to get the mercy of Advaita Acharya. So you have to get the mercy of Guru before Krishna. Nityananda is the original Guru. So Balaram appears first. Balaram is known as the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. So to get Krishna's mercy, you have to get Balaram's mercy. Now why does Balaram appear first? Because he prepares everything for Krishna. Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, Balaram incarnates as Krishna's flute, right? As Krishna's bed, as his seat, as his crown, as all of the paraphernalia. The whole of Goloka Vrindavan is an expansion of Balaram. So Balaram is serving the God. He wants to serve Krishna. So how does he serve Krishna? He expands himself. Krishna, you want to lie down? He expands himself as Krishna's bed. Krishna, you want to sit? He expands as Krishna's simhasan, his throne. So Lord Balaram expands as everything. Why? Because he just wants to serve Krishna. So in other words, if you want Krishna to come into your heart, you have to make your heart pure first. No? And you have to have the same mood as the guru, as the original guru, Lord Balaram. Krishna, I just want to serve you. And when you make your heart clean, then Krishna will come to sit in your heart. When your only desire is to serve Krishna, then Krishna will come to sit in your heart. Otherwise, Krishna will not come. Then Prabhupada says in the next paragraph, that Yogamaya allows us to enter into the spiritual energy. As we said before, there are two types of energy. So who came before Lord Krishna? Balaram, and then Yogamaya. Yogamaya means the internal potency. So the internal potency allows us to enter into Krishna. So how do we enter the internal potency? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas tumam parita, devim prakritim ashritaha. The great souls, the Mahatmas, are under the shelter of the devi prakriti. How do we enter under the shelter of the devi prakriti, the divine energy or the internal energy or yoga maya? It is through bhakti. When you do devotional service properly, you enter the spiritual energy. Because devotional service cannot be performed on the platform of the material energy. It can only be performed on the platform of the spiritual energy. So how do we enter the spiritual energy? Through devotional service. So in the same way, Balaram is teaching us, become Krishna's devotee. Yogamaya is teaching us, absorb yourself in bhakti. Then Krishna will come and enter into your heart. Then he will appear, just like he appeared in the dungeon of Kamsa. And Prabhupada points out in the final paragraph, we'll read the final paragraph because that's interesting. I'm sure we'll read the last paragraph in that particular verse.
Symbolically, symbolically, Mother Deviki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association. And in this way, all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Satgarbhasuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has six sons, Kama, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir eva inam darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti, and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the six sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus, the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the six sons, Kama, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada and Matsarya are killed, the Sesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur.
Very good. So the six sons are representing the six enemies. So there is Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Matsarya, and so we have these six enemies: lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, and illusion. Right, and this is what is keeping us away from Krishna. Why can we not see Krishna now? Because we're affected by lust, by anger, by greed, by pride, by envy, by illusion. So when you're affected by those things, you cannot see Krishna. So those things need to be destroyed. That's the symbolism. You know, because these pastimes can be taken two ways. One is literally, the other one is allegorically. Allegorically means it's like the philosophy that you read out of the pastime. And then there's the literal meaning. Some of the parts of the Bhagavad Gita are allegorical, like Paranjana. Yeah. So it's allegorical, it's not real. It's an example. But then this part of the pastime is literal. There were six sons. But from the six sons, we can understand, Prabhupada has told us, that there are six enemies. And until you overcome those six enemies, you can't understand Krishna. So you have to conquer these things. Then Krishna will be reached. And how do we conquer it? Through bhakti. When you make your heart pure, as Krishna says in the second chapter of the Gita, keep all abominable activities far away, far distant by devotional service. So when you're so absorbed in devotional service, you don't have time for these six things, because you're just too absorbed in Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Okay. O all auspicious Yoga Maya, I shall now appear with my full six opulences as the son of Devaki, and you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. By sacrifices of animals, ordinary human beings will worship you gorgeously, and with various paraphernalia, because you are supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. Lord Krishna blessed Maya Devi by saying, in different places on the surface of the earth, people will give you different names, such as Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. So basically we have a choice. And Prabhupada explains this in the purport. Krishna appeared, and at the same time Krishna appeared, Maya appeared, Yoga Maya. Now Yoga Maya's form in this world is Durga. So basically Durga is appearing. That's who you see in the pastime very soon, appears before Kamsa. So Durga appears and Krishna appears. So then Prabhupada says there are basically two divisions if you go to India. There are the Vaishnavas, the people who worship God or Krishna, and the
Shaktas.
Yeah, the Shaktas, or the people who worship the Shakti, or the energy. Yeah. When we go to Bengal, quite often we go around about the time of Durga Puja to Mayapur, and as you drive to Mayapur, everyone's doing Kali Puja, a huge festival, because they're worshipping Shakti. Why? Because they want some material benefit. If you want devotion, you worship Krishna. So if you want something non-material, spiritual, if you want bhakti, you worship Krishna. If you want material opulence, you worship Durga, and she will give you material opulence. So it's your choice. So Bhagavatam is basically giving you a choice. What do you want? Do you want to stay in this material world, or do you want to go to Krishna? Now, if you do want to go to Krishna and you have material desires, what does the Bhagavatam say? Akama sava kama va, moksha kama radharadi, tivrena bhakti jogena. That even if you have material desires, still go to Krishna. And then Krishna will fulfill your material desires. But the Bhagavatam says in a way that you'll never want that thing again. Because what is it most people want in this world? They want marriage. Or money. Okay, money or marriage, right? Money or the opposite sex, or both, right? So then Krishna gives it to you. He says, here, get married, and then you never want to do it again. That's the system. No? That is why we follow a regulative lifestyle. You have material desires, Krishna says, okay, fulfill your material desires, but in a regulated way. And then purify yourself of your material attachments. But the goal is to become pure and free from all material desires. So next week we'll continue with chapter 2. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.